The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, Ray Engineering and producing our program on this Thursday. It's April the 5th, 2018. We're coming to you from Tucson's Voice. That's AM 1030 KVOI. Have our worldwide live listening. You have your choice, buckmastershow.com or kvoi.com. And, of course, we've got at buckmastershow.com all of our programs, with a few exceptions. Are archived from 7+ years of doing this program. 790-2040, if you'd like to join in the discussion. The topic for the first half hour will be the militarization of the border. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions about that, give us a call right now and we'll talk about it. If National Guard troops are sent to the Arizona Sonora border, it would be at least the third such deployment in the last 12 years. Roughly 1,200 National Guard troops were stationed along the length of the U.S.-Mexico border in 2010, including about 500 here in Arizona. Is it a good idea? Well, let's talk about it. David Morales is here. David is the creator of the popular blog site, The Three Sonorans. David studied math at graduate school at UC Berkeley, finished up his master's at the University of Arizona. He now teaches college-level math at Pima Community College. David, how are you?
I'm doing excellent.
Also with us, conservative columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. He also writes for WesternFreePress.com. Joseph Morgan, who hosts a weekly talk show called Common Sense here on KVOI, Saturday afternoons at 1. Joseph has an advanced degree, as David does, and Joseph's degree is not in math. You can keep your own checkbook, probably. Your master's is in history. How are you doing, Joe?
I'm doing great, Bill. Always good to be here.
So let's begin with David. Good idea about the, is there a crisis on the border that would require the presence of the National Guard?
Well, I was listening on the radio on my way here, and they were saying that we have like the lowest level of people crossing since 1971. The Border Patrol own statistics show that, you know, the crossers have, it's like dropped dramatically. And so I don't really think there's a crisis in as much as there was a crisis last year or the year before. I think a lot of this is just abstract, and the way you can frame stuff on TV, especially Fox News, where, you know, like this little caravan in Mexico, you know, makes the big news. And, you know, you can see like a direct correlation between when Trump says there's an emergency and then when Fox News was talking about, you know, within the hour. And sending the National Guard, first of all, I don't think it's necessary because, first of all, we have this thing called Border Patrol. And they should be patrolling the border since we spend so much
money. Which has had a huge influx in Border Patrol agents.
And the problem is the Border Patrol isn't on the border. They're in towns or, you know, in the cities, in urban areas. And if we have enough Border Patrol you can put 8 Border Patrol per mile along the Mexican border. If they just did that, you wouldn't need them. And if the National Guard, they don't have arresting power, law enforcement power. So, I mean, they can, I don't know, help bring water to the, or you know, surveillance, but that's about it. So I don't think it's necessary at all.
Joe, what do you think about National Guard troops?
Well, I would just say real quick about the 8 Border Patrol per mile, that's nice as far as statistics go, but statistics can often be misused. They have to take breaks. They have to take rests. They're on different shifts. So,
you could have 1 per mile.
Statistically, yeah, that might work out, but that would mean all of them are working at the same time and never taking a break. So, yeah, that's impossible.
So you could have 1 per mile.
Okay, yeah. You need a lot more than 1 per mile when you have thousands and thousands and literally millions of people coming across on an annual basis. But
so if one person's there watching, they can't call for backup.
The fact of the matter is that you're right. It all depends on a perspective of do we actually have a risk to this nation from a national security perspective? Well, now, I can already tell you we actually do, and this has come just with regards to the terrorist issue. We haven't had a terrorism attack from this or anything else, but like ISIS, for example, was proudly talking about when they were a big deal on their websites a few years back, how it would be so easy to take and bring a bomb through the Mexican border. Specifically, they were talking about that because of how porous it was. So that's obviously a national security threat and risk.
It'd now, be easier through Canada. There's no border patrol there.
No, because Canada, the snow and the ice and all the trees and stuff. It's a lot. There's not as many easy natural pathways as there are in the Mexican area. Although yes, there are certain paths of the Mexican thing that you could die in the desert, mm-hmm. For sure. But there's far easier footpaths, so to speak. Be that as it may, my point is, and also they have the coyotes doing their
yeah,
business.
And your point help. Is
my point is there is a national security risk. So you have to assess, is it great? Is it this thing that's going to happen now? Mm-hmm. Well, again, I'm not the chief executive. I'm not looking at all the data. I don't even know. I mean, and any of us who are honest in this debate would say, well, you don't know either because I don't have access to this information of how certain something like that is. Have they had people that have been caught that we don't even know about? Different things of that nature. Then you bring into that march of people, for example. And that's already been disbanded, and most of that's
the caravan is already
caravan.
Been broken up,
right? Yeah. And so, when you look at it from that perspective, that's also a very odd dynamic that gets thrown into this conversation. Because if you just have massive hordes of people just willy nilly saying we're going to cross your border and you're not going to be able to stop us, well, that proposes a real risk as well, and maybe national security at risk because you don't even know who these people are. And so now suddenly you have to act, you have to do something. And so yeah, I think depending again, I'm not the executive, but he is. The only action that you therefore have, since we don't have a barrier, and we don't have a barrier of any kind blocking the route to cut off that flow, is to put manpower there. So.
All right, let's go to the live line. Jim, excuse me. Jim has called us at 790-2040. Jim Kelly. Hey, Jim. Good to hear from you.
Hi. Listen, you know, I think one of the points that you guys are missing about what the National Guard can and cannot do, years ago when we did it, and it was supported by then Congresswoman Gabby Giffords. We collected a lot of intelligence on the bad actors and the bad players, both international and Mexican cartels. So putting them back on there actually helps us update the intelligence that Border Patrol may or may not even have the legal ability to give to the Department of Defense. So there are now some extra things that we can update into the databases, particularly if the National Guard will be carrying their biometric recorders. So that will help us tremendously with identification of any new actors that have stepped into the fray since some of the old guys have gone away. We all know it is for a lot of reasons. It's for show, and it's a negotiating tactic with mm-hmm. Mexico and the other Central American countries. So in that respect, it's successful already. The caravan has been stopped, and it's not crossing the border. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of good things here. And a cost-benefit analysis, does it help? Probably. At the end of the day, I think it will. And again, particularly if our National Guard has those biometric recorders, and we can stop those bad actors and get them on documentation. That's okay. my thoughts, guys. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
So I would just say, take everything that Jim just said, and have the Border Patrol do it. Just put the Border Patrol on the border, give them the biometrics, give them the everything, and have them do their job instead of driving around in the cities and, you know. We have the Border Patrol. We don't need the National Guard out there. And what he said is it is for show.
And would you say dissolve some of these checkpoints that are 30 miles from the border?
You know, I have students, because I teach on the South Side, I have students that have to pass a militarized checkpoint every day just to get to school. And you know, they got everything. They got the dogs. They got, you know, armed people. And you know, this is America. This is the land of freedom and liberty.
I wonder how many folks they actually do apprehend. I guess those statistics are available. I have no
Every
idea.
Every once in a blue moon, they catch some drugs or something, but... Yeah, you know.
Well, if it's not going to be the Border Patrol, then you'd have to have more ICE agents doing it, because somebody's got to be rounding up people who are in this country for whatever reason, however they got here, and they're maintaining an illegal presence in this nation. And I know that some people think that that's an erroneous job description. They shouldn't be doing that at all, but they should be doing it. And so right now, Border Patrol is assisting with that on the border, in the border states where they're at. And I think that that's a proper use of Border Patrol agents. But like I said, if you're going to have Border Patrol just concentrate specifically on keeping them out of the border, then you would have to increase ICE agents then to do that. And a lot of people would be opposed to that as well. So my point is it's a no-win-win. It's a no-win situation for an executive, depending on where you stand on that issue. From a national security perspective, though, there is a national security risk. There always has been for a very long time in the border issue. And then how do we meet that? Trump's proposal is he wants a big wall. Whether that materializes as an actual 40-foot tall concrete edifice or in a double-layered security fence, which is what people like myself have advocated for, different things of that nature. Something like that would be useful because we wouldn't need as much manpower. You wouldn't need it, and yet it could deal with the national security issue a lot better.
I'll just say real quick. Okay. Well, go ahead.
I'm just going to say very quickly, this is not the priority of our nation. We need to fix the infrastructure of our nation. We shouldn't be attacking Mexicans like Trump always does.
All right. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by my favorite bakery in town. Let's see if Joseph and David can agree on this. Do you both like bakery goods?
Oh, yeah.
Especially freshly baked.
Well, you like freshly baked? Mm-hmm. Well, they've got them at Mona's. Steve and Sherry, the owners there at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. If you're out in that area and you're hungry, stop by. The sandwich is so wonderful on that freshly baked bread. And have one of the Buckmaster brownies. Those are my favorite. For dessert, go to the website, buckmastershow.com, for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. We'll be right back.
There is still time this year for you to give your 2017 charitable tax credit qualifying dollars to a local charity and claim a dollar-for-dollar tax credit towards your Arizona state taxes. The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 30 local charities, encourages you to direct a portion of your state tax dollars to work in our community for causes you wish to support. It's easy. Feel good and go to givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org to learn more.
In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we'll talk with the Arizona Senate President Steve Yarborough. The Friday Roundtable features Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com, and Joe Ferguson, political writer, the Arizona Daily Star. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. David Morales to the left of me and Joseph Morgan to the right. We've been talking about militarization of the border, but I'm curious, Joe, you wrote about the Dreamers and DACA, your column, I believe it was Sunday right?
Yeah.
In the Arizona Daily Star. So what's going to happen with these people, these hundreds of thousands of folks that are in limbo right now?
What I would tell you is it totally an opinion. Because nobody really knows. I mean, it's all up in the air, and it's before the Supreme Court, apparently, you know, whether President Trump has the authority to end the so-called DACA program. Of course, that was the thrust of my piece. I find it a joke that it's even come this far, because it's clear that he does have the authority, because it's just one executive who decided to create something, and so another executive can come along and rescind anything that a previous executive did. But with regards to the people themselves, I mean, Trump tweeted out, you know,
Easter morning,
the DACA deal has ended.
DACA is dead. And, the DACA deal is dead, I believe he said.
And I think what he was referring to there is obviously they didn't get anything done before the deadline that he himself had set. Of course, lower judges have said that, no, you can't do that. They have to have time, blah, blah, blah. That's what's before the Supreme Court. And I think what he's saying is, because there's been a lot of indications from this Congress that because of the midterms that are coming up and the contentious political environment, they're not really going to get anything done anyway. And so he's basically saying, well, this is it. There's no deal. And so I kind of get the feeling that if he encounters anyone in these various ICE raids that have been occurring across the country, that it might become a media sensation if one of them actually gets deported. Because I get the sense that he's going to do whatever he's going to do.
Kick the can down the road, David?
Yeah, so.
Well, I mean, I know a lot of DACA students here in town, obviously.
And how are they feeling?
There's a lot of uncertainty, and actually I lost some students last semester, but because they just decided to go back to Mexico and or you know, worry about that. But I mean, they're not a danger at all. I mean, they grew up here, they went to school here, some of them graduated, you know, valedictorian, salutatorian. They're really smart. I think in some sense they embody Americanism really like a lot, because first of all, their family, like, they weren't just born here and given the privilege of being American. They risked their lives to get here. And then the kids are like, I got to go to school. I got to learn. I got to do this for my family. And so, I mean, to criminalize, because, what's sad about the right-wing perspective I hear a lot is they just focus on one thing and can't get off of that. And the one thing they focus on is they're illegal. They're lawbreakers. They're criminals. And, like, meet these people, you know what I mean? And they're not that, but But if it helps you get through the day and, you know, hating people, then, you know, fine.
Let's go to the live line, 790-2040. Jaime is up to the plate. Hey, Jaime, how are you?
Good, sir. Just wanted to make a couple points.
Go ahead.
One of the ones that, you know, you always hear, oh, you know, there's negative net migration right now. You know, we're low levels of illegal immigration. Think of it this way. Okay, you got a leaky roof. Oh, you're going to say, oh, well, the water's flowing out of the house faster than the water's leaking in, so we're not going to mess with it. It's okay. No, you're going to stop the leaks. So that's one, like, talking point that you always hear throwing around. It just needs to be squashed. Another thing, you know, here in Arizona, obviously, I grew up in a Three Points area. I don't know. Some people may not know where that's at, about 20 miles west of Tucson. And, you know, we are 45 miles from the border. Three Points is a hotbed of illegal immigration. There's so many load-ups there, a lot of stash houses in Three Points area. That's 45 miles from the border. So what, we're not going to patrol that area? I got family in the Border Patrol, so yeah, I'm a little partial.
Okay.
But, you know, up in they're in the Casa Grande area. There are seen illegal migration up in the Casa Grande area. They're catching illegal aliens. So what, it's not right on the border, but you're not going to patrol it? No, you're going to patrol it because that's where the illegal immigration is happening.
All right.
I would say the problem with that analogy about the leaky house is that America needs these immigrants because no one else will pick. Farms in California and Oregon, even Alabama, their food's rotting. We need the labor. And so, you know, it's not like you want to keep them. It's a weird thing. We want to keep them out, but we hate the person as they are. And, you know, if you think about drugs, okay, there's marijuana, now there's heroin and stuff. Well, guess what? You get heroin legally from you know, prescriptions, and marijuana is becoming legal all over the you know, like California, it's legal. So, you know, if you just legalized these drugs, especially marijuana, you wouldn't have the drug issue.
Okay, I'm not even going to get on the drug thing. There's a legal means to immigration. There's a legal means to get workers in here, and this is where we have to get Congress involved, and if that means voting in new people that will actually do the right thing, then do so. And that's expand the worker programs, expand them, recreate things, do things so that we can get people in here legally, as opposed to this process saying, well, we need all these people, therefore the fact that they're coming in illegally and all this other stuff doesn't matter. Because it does matter, and that's why we have the mess that we're in. And it's no different, although it is a civil infraction versus a criminal infraction. I feel great pity for somebody who's stealing food or stealing something to feed a family, as opposed to somebody who's just doing it, you know, to get money for themselves and everything else. That at the same time, we shouldn't allow that crime to go on. We simply try to help those families understand where they're going, and then create programs maybe to get those people so they're not going towards a life of crime, that kind of stuff. But you do not excuse the behavior. And so that's the true conservative perspective, and that's what I wanted to challenge from some of the stuff David had said earlier.
Ingrid is up next, 790-2040. Let's see if we can work her in before the bottom of the hour. Hello, Ingrid.
Okay, well, the comment was made that these children, young people, risk their lives. In fact, it was their parents who risked the children's lives, a dastardly thing to do. I say let these young people stay here. This is their country. This is what they know. They probably speak Spanish in a foreign accent. Let them stay. And I attended a Board of Supervisors meeting, and during a roll call, I was astonished, horrified actually, to hear a supervisor respond in a pseudo basso profundo voice, "Presente." He's in the United States. If he wants to say presente, he's invited to say that in Mexico. I'll leave it at that.
David, any comment?
Nope.
Joseph?
Well, I mean, I understand where Ingrid's coming from. You know, that a lot of people feel that way, that English is our language. And if you're here, I mean, what's the point of doing something like that? You're showing solidarity with what? See, again, I understand showing solidarity with the human side of things. But from a political perspective, we should all be solidified, and we need sovereign borders. We have to solve this a legal and right way, a just way, yes. But when people break the law, there's got to be consequences for that. And to sit here and again, as she was saying, it's not the children who broke the law, and this is where this compassion, we understand that many of them have been here for 20 years, 25 years, and they this is their only country. So most people, I think it's like 82%, 85%, are saying the DACA kids should have something so that they can stay.
There's a lot of support.
But what we're saying is we have to have a policy in place that we change things so this doesn't keep happening, where we have another group of people down the road and another group of people.
What you're saying is conservatives believe that if someone breaks the law, like Sheriff Arpaio, just found guilty in a federal court of law, that he should have no consequences. So it's, you're inconsistent, right?
But he wasn't found guilty.
Yes, he was.
I wrote a piece about that.
I know,
so, yeah.
It was wrong. But so the point here is that it's inconsistent about who's guilty and who's not guilty. You know, I think Trump has broken a lot of laws, and you know, we'll find out. So, I mean, this is America. You got to decide. Legality is a state of mind in some sense, because you can decide who's legal or not day to day. I mean, one day it's illegal to escape your master as a slave, and the next day it's illegal to be slaved. And like Reagan, Reagan had a mass amnesty program. You can create legality overnight if you wanted to. It's all in the state. It's all state of mind.
We haven't had slaves since the 19th century, so it's not as simple as this day.
But we had Reagan giving amnesty.
Okay.
All right. Joseph Morgan, thank you very much. We'll listen to your program on Saturday afternoon at 1. And David Morales, thank you very much for your service to the show. And we will see you down the road. And we'll have folks go to 3sonorans.com, which is you try to post every day or two,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I try to.
Try to keep it up. Okay. Thank you very much, gentlemen. And we'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Pima County Public Library is proud to present American Exceptionalism Reconsidered, a lecture by Noam Chomsky. Join us at this free event on Friday, April 13th at 7 p.m. in Hockamy Plaza outside Joel D. Valdez Main Library. Professor Chomsky, one of the most influential public intellectuals in the world, will offer an important discussion on timely topics, including gun culture in American society, Friday, April 13th at 7 p.m.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and this portion presented by Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk. That's just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, and Green Things has these fine workshops that they offer free to the public. Go to the website, greenthingsaz.com. Check it out. It's also the spring gardening season. It's going to be a really nice weekend to do some gardening. Yeah, it's going to warm up, probably go above 90 degrees, but now is the time to get that spring flowers in the ground. Speaking of flowers, Michael C. Flowers. How's that for a segue?
Whoa, Bill, you've done this before.
Yeah, Michael C. Flowers, certified a public accountant, CPA, and of the firm Flowers, Rieger & Associates, a firm that I use personally, the show uses. Actually, I've been finding out more and more of our listeners and Facebook friends also use your services.
We've been around for quite a time.
How many
years?
30 years?
I started the firm in 84, so this will be our 34th year, but I started in the CPA business in 1976, so this is my 42nd year.
Wow, so he didn't get off the bus yesterday when it comes, so this is not his first rodeo tax season, as they say. Right. You know, everybody's saying, hey, I should be getting a lot of money back because of what Congress did, but Michael, doesn't a lot of that kind of affect next year?
Yeah, if people are talking about their current wages, the most prudent thing to do is hopefully you're working with the CPA, and if not, you should try to determine if you took your 2017 return, maybe try to figure out what the changes are, and then see what your tax liability would be. In many cases, because you have children, instead of getting $1,000 back, you'll be getting $2,000 back. You'll lose them as an exemption, but the net is that you should get more back. And we've probably done 300 or 400 returns in our office already, and I'd say over 95% that I've looked at have resulted in less taxes in 2018. And if you're going off the charts that people use for payroll, that's a really big database, and it's really not personalized at all. So my nephew, for example, is going to get $3,000 back more next year, so I told him to lower his withholdings by approximately $300 a month for the next 8 months, and rather than waiting to get $3,000, that's a car payment almost.
It really is.
Yeah, but serious money.
I think the bottom line, what you're saying is, it's something we can look forward to in the next tax season.
The reduction in taxes are pretty much 2018. 2017 rates are very similar to 2016 and prior, but 2018, but you don't want to wait till November, December to find out I took too much out, I didn't take enough out. With all the returns we're doing now, we do an analysis of 2018. And if it's something minor, I'll tell the clients. And if not, I'll be calling a number of my clients in late April, early May, and we're going to go through an entire plan and redo the withholdings and possibly do the state tax credits instead of paying state taxes because they're going to be limited to $10,000.
So the state credits are changing.
The state credits The state credits is a great idea because they do not count as a state tax as far as itemized deductions are concerned. You're only allowed $10,000 between your Arizona state withholdings and your actual tax liability, plus your real estate tax. So, for example, if I had $8,000 in real estate tax, I mean, $8,000 in withholdings and $4,000 in real estate tax, I could do a $4,000 tax credit, and my taxes would not be over $10,000 then, and I would stop taking withholdings out of my state so that it doesn't count as an itemized deduction.
Deducting mortgage interest has been a hot button. Earlier in the year, there was serious talk, Michael, about eliminating it as a deduction. Ultimately, it's remained, right?
It's remained with the caution that for most people, if you're married, the itemized deductions are going up to $24,000. And that's going to eliminate probably 70% of the middle class and beyond that will not need to itemize their deductions, because if you have a $200,000 house at 5%, that's about $10,000 in interest. You may have $3,000 or $4,000 in property tax. You're at $14,000 and the government's going to give you $24,000. So unless you give $10,000 to charity or have something unusual, you're probably not going to be able to itemize. So being able to deduct your interest on your house doesn't necessarily mean that's the wise thing to do.
Arizona has some wonderful tax credits for people who may not be aware of it, for the public school credit, a private school credit, charitable organization credit, and even adoption and foster care credit.
They total about $4,000 in total, and my point is in 2018 they're going to be much more valuable to those people that continue to itemize and that are limited on the amount of state tax and real estate tax they can claim. Some of our wealthier clients are in that situation, and in all cases, I'm going to recommend that they do. It's about $4,500 worth of credits for a married couple filing joint. And the difference between a credit and a deduction is critical. If I have a tax deduction, if I give to a charity and I give $1,000 and I'm in a 25% tax bracket, that saves me $250 in tax. If I give to a tuition support organization $1,000 and Arizona gives me a credit, I actually get my full $1,000 back. So
wow.
It's just redirecting your money. It's an unbelievable good tax benefit that generally the public that's not working with the CPAs and the professionals that do this every day of their lives are not taking full advantage of.
What are some of these misconceptions people have about working with a CPA? I think one of them might be, I just can't afford those services.
Yeah, our argument to that is I don't know that there's been a case in my career where I've charged more than what I've saved somebody. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I can't afford $500 to save $2,000. I tell some of my clients, please let me do that for you. I'll give you $500 and I'll take the $2,000 refund.
Yeah.
And I'll give you money back. Yeah. And it's a CPA is very valuable to give you guidance. In 2018, I think it's a major mistake to try to attempt this on your own. I have six CPAs in the office. We went to an 8-hour seminar via the internet for a nationally renowned speaker out of North Carolina that had 600 other CPAs throughout the country, just listening to what he's been able to initially understand. And a lot of it hasn't been codified, and the rules and regulations aren't out. So this is one of the most complicated things in the world. To attempt that on yourself is like attempting surgery on yourself. It doesn't make sense.
Oh, no, thanks. Where can people find out about you? And can they say they heard you on the radio and you'd like to talk?
Yeah, Bill, as a courtesy to you and to generally the public, we have a no charge for initial consultation. If somebody wants to just call us and say, hey, I made X and what's my 18 taxes are going to be, if it's something we can do over the phone and relatively easily, we're more happy to do that, because our goal is for people to pay the least amount of taxes, whether they use us or not, because that's not a good use of your personal income. We're at Grant and Craycroft in the Old Farm Executive Park.
Yeah, you got some new offices over there.
Yeah,
really?
We're nice. We're really pleased. Yeah. And my phone number is 327-8706. And just ask for Mike Flowers and just mention Bill's show, Bill Buckmaster's show, and I'll be more than happy to take care of you and then point you in the right direction.
Will you also talk to someone about extensions if they are up against the wall right now?
We'd be happy to, but you're seriously running out of time from a CPA perspective. But an extension is fairly automatic, and you need your name, your Social Security numbers on the form. It's a form 4868, but you must file it by now April 17th. They gave us an extra couple of days because the 15th is a Sunday, and the 16th, I believe, is Emancipation Day. So it's a national holiday, so the returns aren't due till 17th.
All right. Michael C. Flowers, we really appreciate what you do for this program. You are the CPA firm for the Buckmaster Show. We love your services. Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate it. You've been a great client and a great thing you're doing for the community. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Coming up, Don Luce will be joining us, speaking of people we use services from. Attorney Don Luce on the live line coming up next.
There is still time this year for you to give your 2017 charitable tax credit qualifying dollars to a local charity and claim a dollar-for-dollar tax credit towards your Arizona state taxes. The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 30 local charities, encourages you to direct a portion of your state tax dollars to work in our community for causes you wish to support. It's easy. Feel good and go to givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org to learn more.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Pima County Public Library is proud to present American Exceptionalism Reconsidered, a lecture by Noam Chomsky. Join us at this free event on Friday, April 13th at 7 p.m. in Hockamy Plaza outside Joel D. Valdez Main Library. Professor Chomsky, one of the most influential public intellectuals in the world, will offer an important discussion on timely topics, including gun culture in American society, Friday, April 13th at 7 p.m.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our 3 new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Thursday, April the 5th. Tomorrow we have Senate President Yarborough will be joining us. That should be an interesting discussion as the legislative session is winding down. There's still some business to talk about, and we'll talk about that in a moment with some of the legislation that has now been signed into law. We'll talk with Don Luce about that. But first, I want to mention Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Great weekend getaway, especially when it's over 90 degrees in Tucson. I would knock about 15 degrees off that high temperature over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, because of the elevation over there. And it's only a three-hour drive. Check out Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org, for the full listing of the many great places to stay and really a ton of recreation ideas for you. Joining us now is Attorney Don Luce of Luce, Brown & Hobkirk, Attorneys at Law. Luce, Brown attorneys have three offices, two in Phoenix, one here in Tucson. Nice office over on River Road. Mr. Luce, the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. He's the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. And Mr. Luce is on the live line calling in from Puerto Penasco, also known as AKA Rocky Point. How are you, Don?
I'm fine, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. Do I have the right impression? You're sitting on the balcony right now overlooking the beach and the sea.
Bill, you should be here with me because that's exactly what I'm doing.
Well, we're gonna put you to work here for a few minutes. The governor's already been signing some bills, and I want to go over some of these bills that someday may make it into another edition of Arizona Laws 101. The governor signed a bill that, in effect, could help consumers when it comes to identity theft. What's that all about?
Okay, so I think most of your listeners know that last year about 145 million Americans had key pieces of their identity stolen through a data breach by Equifax, which is one of the three credit reporting agencies that are used when someone goes to open a new account or to borrow money. The legislation that Governor Ducey signed this week prohibits those credit reporting agencies from charging a fee for consumers to lock or unlock their credit to prevent a new account or somebody borrowing money on their account from occurring. Under a 2008 law, which this new legislation overturned, the credit reporting agencies charged $5 per transaction. So $5 may not seem like a lot, but if you think about it, there are three credit reporting agencies. So if you wanted to lock your credit with all three agencies, that would be $15. If you and your spouse wanted to lock your credit, which a married couple would typically do, then the fee would be twice, or $30. If the credit was unfrozen because you wanted to make a purchase and your credit was relevant, you wanted to buy a new car, for instance, then you would have to unfreeze the account, that would be another $30. Because remember, there are three credit reporting agencies, and it's $5 per person per agency. And then if you wanted to refreeze it after that transaction, that's another $30. So
it adds up.
$5 adds up. Under this new legislation, the credit reporting agencies will not be allowed to charge a fee to lock or unlock your credit. So I think it's a big step in the right direction to help protect consumers whose Social Security numbers, birthdays, addresses, and in some cases, driver's license numbers were stolen by somebody who breached the Equifax database.
Another piece of legislation signed into law this week would strip judges from the power to decide for themselves on a case-by-case basis how to divide up frozen embryos when couples get divorced. So what does the new law say when the couples disagree on this?
Well, this is an interesting one. I think it's going to prove to be a bit controversial as well. So this is Senate Bill 1393 that Governor Ducey signed this week along with some of the other bills. If a couple gets divorced and they disagree about essentially who's going to get the frozen embryos, and by the way, with science technology being where it's at, there are a lot of frozen embryos, and I think your listeners will remember that it was just last month that there was a major issue regarding embryos being unfrozen, and so it's something that's in the news. If a couple has frozen embryos and they can't agree as to who's going to get them, then under this new legislation, which was signed by the governor this week, it's the parent who will agree to promise to allow the embryos to be born. So this arose from a case where the husband objected to the wife being granted the embryos, and with that objection, the judge said, well, that's fine, but you two have a contract that says if you have a dispute, then the embryos are donated to a third party. And that was what happened in that case. This new legislation essentially overrides any contract that the parties may have entered into regarding the frozen embryos and mandates that the trial judge grant the embryos to the parent who promises to allow them to be born. I think this is going to be problematic for many reasons, not the least of which is, let's assume that the wife doesn't want any more children with her biological DNA, but the husband does, and the husband promises to allow them to be born. What that necessarily means is that the wife is going to have a biological child born either using a surrogate or perhaps even the ex-husband's new wife or girlfriend. So as you can see, this new legislation, I think, could be controversial in certain cases.
All right, Don, before we let you go, there was also one a bill that was signed into law that will require a law enforcement agency to review photo enforcement violations before a citation can be issued. This actually is potentially quite big, isn't it?
It is. Now, I should preface this by saying that at least one state representative has tried unsuccessfully for the last 2 years to get the legislature to ban red light and speed enforcement cameras statewide. Both of those efforts failed. So, but what did make it through the legislature and what was signed by Governor Ducey is a bill that requires the police and not the photo enforcement companies to actually review the camera data to determine if there was a traffic law violation. And if there was a traffic law violation as determined by the police department and not the third party, as is currently what happens, then a citation could be issued. the new legislation was a very, I think, diluted compromise of the other legislation that failed to pass the legislature, and that other legislation, of course, would have banned entirely cameras statewide. But that did not pass, and what did pass is something that I think is going to make it a little more difficult to issue citations from photo cameras because the police have to be involved in the initial determination.
All right, Don Luce, we will let you go. Enjoy the rest of your day there on the beach at Rocky Point. Don, thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill. Have a good day.
Attorney Don Luce of Luce, Brown & Hobkirk, Attorneys at Law, coming up tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. Lots to talk about with Senate President Steve Yarborough. We'll have our Friday roundtable. And also a note, John C. Scott, a legend in the business, is returning to the airwaves right here on this very radio station. He'll be doing a Saturday afternoon show that will come up at 2-hour show, 4 to 6 here on the weekends. I'm Bill Buckmaster. On behalf of Ray Allen, have a great afternoon and evening.